Hi, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Equipping the Saints. My name is Amit from Harvest Ministries India, and we have Clint from Transfigure Church USA. And we are here once again to help you mature into Christ, to help you receive truth that liberates, practical truth. And that's something that I keep telling people that we do on this broadcast. And that's, we are here to give you practical truth, not truth that just is knowledge in your head, but truth that you can apply in your lives. And so here we are with truth. Once again, today we're going to hit a very interesting topic, and that's the truth about anointing. And we believe there's a lot of issues out there, lots of things that people believe about anointing and impartations and a lot of things that's out there. And so we're going to hit that today. What we want, brothers and sisters, the aim behind all of this is very simple. We want you to mature into Christ, because that's the goal of being a Christian, to mature into Christ, to mature into full adult sonship, okay? The adult son that you already actually are in the spirit, but to mature fully into Christ. And secondly, to be able to drive out the influence of hell, to be able to drive out the influence of the power of death, the power of grave, over your life, where you can live in absolute freedom, victory, but more importantly, that you can live out your purpose. Paul's letter to, I think it's the Ephesians, where he speaks about, he says that don't live like the Gentiles, he tells the Christians, okay, who live in the futility of their minds. And that word futility means purposelessness, okay? It's purposelessness. The distinguishing factor behind Christians and the Gentiles is purposelessness. But before we begin and we get to anointing and all the other associated topics to do with that, let maybe Clint, if you can just get all of us that are watching on the same page, because we are, sometimes joining in from different parts of the world, and we want to come back to the same main foundation from which we are stemming all of this from. So over to you, Clint.
Yep. So what I found and what Amit and I talk about is the best way to communicate is to communicate bluntly. And we're going to communicate bluntly with you today. And I want to start out this blunt communication of truth with you by saying there is no personal, unique will of God for you. The will of God is the same for everyone. Every human being has the same will of God. And that will is to be born again into a son, that you could receive God the Holy Spirit indwelling your body, that you could mature into Christ in the fullness that we see in Christ. God's will can't be accomplished on the earth until you get this down. Okay? Now, hell is competing with that truth by introducing doctrines and theologies and thinking and logic and reasoning that's blocking all of these things, that's blocking you from manifesting as a full-grown son. And Alma was talking about maturing into Christ, and that is, we start in Romans 8:29. It says, we were predestined to be conformed into Christ, into the image of his son. Jesus himself said, I am the firstborn of many brothers. Many, meaning, in some translations say, just like him. Jesus commands us in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples of all language groups, of all peoples, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey his commands given to the original disciples. Well, if Jesus is going to command us to make disciples and to be a disciple, we have to go with his definition of a disciple. That's Luke 6:40. Jesus says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but when fully trained, and this is what we're missing, the full training. But when fully trained, a disciple will be as his teacher. In fact, we see this same word for being fully trained in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 15, and Paul the Apostle defines the job description of the leadership of the body of Christ. It says this, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Listen to these next words, to mature manhood, to mature manhood. If we have a question about what that means, we need to keep reading. Paul defines mature manhood, or what a mature man is. He says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay? Now, in verse 12, it says to equip the saints. That's the same Greek word that I just read from you in Luke 6:40. When a disciple is fully trained, he will be as the master. 12 of Ephesians 4, to equip the saints until they reach mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God's will for you is to grow up into Christ in every way. Listen, if you are a son of God, baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are equal with Jesus Christ. He made you equal with him because he recreated you and he put his Spirit in you. Who is Jesus Christ? He is a sinless man indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. What are you as a born-again son of God baptized in the Spirit? You are a sinless being, a new humanity, no longer of the humanity of the line of Adam that's made from this earth, but you are recreated as a son whose origins are from heaven. Your seed is no longer from this earth. Your seed is from heaven. You are of Jesus Christ. You are his brother, and that means we have the same father. Most people want to get mad when we talk about these things, but this is what the Bible declares. When Jesus Christ was born of Mary, he did not come into this earth as God. Philippians 2 states these things clearly. He says that he made himself void. He emptied himself and entered a new state of humanity, a new state of existence, that being a human in flesh. He came as a servant. He came as our example. He came as a propitiation for all of our sin. And he came that he could be the first of a new species of humanity, that he could be the first of a new order and kind whose job and whose goal and whose destiny is to reorder this earth from its origins that have proceeded from hell and reorder it unto heaven's kingdom, heaven's order, and doing the will of God, which is, again, as we say, growing up into Christ in every way, reaching the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, if you've got all this foolishness in your mind having to do with doctrines of men, teachings of religion, you know, you take a little bit of Christianity, you take a little bit of Catholicism, you take a little bit of Hinduism, you take a little bit of Buddhism, and you mix it all together, and you have, what do you have? What does that make? That makes hell. That's all that makes, and that's blocking you from maturing in Christ. You have to have the truth that tears down strongholds that are preventing your maturity, which is precisely why we're coming to you today, right, Amit?
Amen. And that's so well put, because that's exactly what we want to do. We are not the intention of what we want to tell you today or any other day on equipping the saints is not to hurt you or offend you. But when you hear the truth that demolishes strongholds, you will definitely, I mean, there's 90% chances you will be hurt. Okay,
and you will it's gonna hurt your flesh. Order.
Okay, because your flesh is gonna cry out, right? No, this is not true. This can't happen. How can it be so easy? How can it be so straightforward at the same time? How can it be so? No, I can't let go of this. I can't let go of that. No, you've got to get rid of all the lies. You know, yesterday we had gone for an outreach. on a railway station, and there was this unbeliever lady who was there, and she got healed of her deafness, and her legs were hurting. She got much, much better than what she was as far as her pain in her legs was concerned. She said something. She said, she was going on talking about the God that she believed and what she thought was God, and we told her that Jesus is the living God. We didn't get into a debate at that time, but she said something. Never have I been told that I could be healed. Never was I told before that I could be healed. Okay, and that's the difference. The difference that truth brings is it brings freedom, because Jesus came to set you free, right? Jesus came to set you free. So getting back to what we said we would speak about, and that is the truth about anointing. Now, the Bible has been speaking about anointing for a long time, right through the New Testament, right through the Old Testament, right up to the New Testament. We see this word again and again and again and again and again, anointing. It comes from the Hebrew word called mashak, which basically means to rub with oil, to anoint, and to set something apart, to consecrate something, to set something apart. Now, I don't know what you have believed, dear brothers and sisters, about anointing, and what is the nonsense that has been, put inside of your head. But I'm telling you, if you come to know about what the real anointing is all about, it should leave you completely humbled, looking at the love of God, because the true anointing is the anointing of sonship. If you look throughout the Old Testament, God anointed certain people for specific purposes, like the prophets, or the kings were anointed by the prophets for specific purposes. There were judges that were anointed for a specific purpose, like Samson, right? And all that stuff was happening. But then you come to the New Testament, and in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, you see a different type of an anointing. Because if you go to 1 John 2:20, and I'm going to hit it straight away, 1 John 2:20, it says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Listen, there is no doubt that if you are a Christian, there is just one anointing. There's nowhere throughout Scripture about any other specific anointing that you need or have in any way. A pastor is not anointed a pastor. A prophet is not anointed a prophet, and an apostle anointed an apostle as such. He may be commissioned for a certain job, but he's not anointed. The anointing that really matters is the anointing of sonship. And the Word of God says, the moment you're born again, the moment you're Spirit-filled, the moment you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've got an anointing that's much higher than any anointing that has been known in human history. It's the anointing of sons seated in the heavenly places at the right hand of God with Christ Jesus. That's a level of anointing that goes beyond anything. Neither David nor Samson nor any of the guys who were anointed, right, had that level of anointing, right? No one had that anointing, just you and Jesus. And it says very clearly in Acts 10:38 also, it says, Jesus, who was anointed with power and the Holy Spirit, went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Again, in 1 John 2:27, he says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. This is the anointing that abides. It doesn't come and go. It abides. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You're literally... the oil is the oil of the Holy Spirit that is upon you, not any specific oil, but the oil of the Holy Ghost that is upon you. And so you are anointed as a son. And he says that you don't need anyone to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, is true and is not a lie, and it is just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't need to learn from anybody. That doesn't mean that there are no pastors, teachers to teach you something. But it does mean is that if you are learning, the reason you're getting this truth today is probably because you are anointed with the Holy Ghost. You are getting this truth because you are anointed. The Holy Spirit wants to teach you something, and He will teach you through different ways, through different reasons, directly, through a pastor, through a leader. But the point is, the anointing means sonship. You are anointed as a son. That anointing comes when you receive the Holy Spirit. Listen who that anointing is from. This anointing is from the Holy One. It's not an anointing that you get from Pastor so-and-so, Brother so-and-so, Prophet so-and-so. This anointing is from the Holy One. That's the anointing that you have. That's the anointing that you possess. I hear many people reference things from the Old Testament, things like Elijah and Elisha, and how Elisha wanted a double portion anointing of Elijah. And then Elijah throws down his mantle and he says, if you see that mantle comes down, and then you can take up that mantle and then you get the double portion anointing. And I see people like crazy going after pastors, going after preachers, going after so-called men of God, and looking for that double portion anointing. I want a double portion anointing. And I hear these words spoken at praise and worship. I hear these words spoken at teachings, at church meetings and stuff like that. Again, point is, you don't need anybody else's anointing. You've got the anointing of Christ Himself. Guess what? If you're anointed, you're meant to act and live as a son. The anointing is not for nothing. It's for you to work, advance the kingdom of God, mature into Christ, and dismantle the power and the lies of Satan, basically from our earth. What do you think, Clint? What do you have
well,
to say?
Yeah, you've touched on several things there. The reason why we want to talk about this and make this correction is because leaders who are building their own kingdom, who call themselves Christians, I call them crimping peacocks, are going around telling everyone how special they are and that they don't have what they have, okay? I am anointed. I am God's anointed whatever. So therefore, come and serve me in my ministry and whatever. That's a devil. That man's got a devil, and you need to just walk away and forget you ever heard his name, okay? Men are using these twisted things to gain a following, okay? They are not, they don't know Jesus if they're doing this to gain a following. They're speaking on their own behalf to try to garner some kind of a following and build some kind of a thing where men worship them, where men look to them and say, look at this is anointed apostle so-and-so, and my life cannot receive the benefit of Jesus unless I belong and tithe and give money to anointed apostle so-and-so. He's a primping peacock. He is nothing. He's a man of this world, and his ways are of this world. Okay? Now, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we see this word anointed or anoint being used, and this is really from the Greek, to consecrate someone to an office or to a service. Okay? So anointing isn't really even about power. They used oil to signify someone being consecrated to an office or a service. Now, you mentioned it, Amit, but I'll read it. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, I want to jump to John 20, verse 21. Jesus is going to make a remarkable statement. We just saw how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and sent him out to heal all that were oppressed of the devil. That's one of the problems, is that we have we've been tutored by a primping peacock, so we're and hell's ripping the world off, and you don't care about it. That's the problem. We got to get you into the truth so that you can care about what God cares about and begin to act like Jesus acted. Now, John 20, 21, Jesus makes this remarkable statement. He says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Amen. So in the same way the Father sent Jesus, I am sending you. How is he sending you? Let's continue reading. When he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay? Now, if this is true, if it's true that God anointed Jesus, and in the same way, God is sending us or anointing us, or we could say, choosing us for service, or we could say, as you said, Amit, choosing us for sonship. What is the sign of sonship? What is the anointing or the consecration as a son? Let's read it in Acts 1:8. Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
Amen.
You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What's he saying? In the same way the Father sent me, he chose me and validated my consecration as a son by putting his Holy Spirit in me, that I could heal all those who were oppressed of the devil. Now, the same way Jesus, God anointed Jesus and said, this is my son, by putting his Holy Spirit in him, is the same way that God signifies that you are a son, by putting his Spirit in you. See, what it says, the Word of God says that we were purchased with a price, which is the blood of Jesus. You're no longer your own. What's the first thing that God did when he bought you? You know, if he bought you, he could do whatever he wants with you. The first thing he did is he recreated your spirit and your nature to be of Jesus Christ, the same, equal to him in righteousness.
Amen.
Equal to him in righteousness. Maybe you need to hear me say it again. Equal to him in righteousness. Now, why did God make you a son? He made you a son for one purpose. He made you a son that you could receive the indwelling of God himself. This is what it says. This is borne out in Galatians 3, chapter 3, chapter 4. But basically, in Galatians 3, 13 and 14, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it, as it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that, did you hear those words? So that Christ hung on the cross, so that means we have to understand that whatever was just said is about to be explained. Christ hung on a cross so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that, there's that word again, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Now, why did Christ hang on a cross? That we could receive the Holy Spirit, that God could indwell us just like he indwelt Christ. This is about sonship for the purpose of God making you his house so that you could become the display that we see in Jesus Christ fully, without fail, without reserve, without, you know, God is no respecter of persons. Whatever he made Jesus, he's going to make you as his son by dwelling in you through his Holy Spirit. Therefore, there's no such thing as being anointed for any other purpose except sonship. And Jesus displayed what this anointing of sonship does. It heals all those who are oppressed of the devil. So there's no more special anointing for this person or that person. No, I mean, I heard someone say they were anointed to save all the stray cats in their town one time. People come up with ridiculous things, all right? There's one anointing. You know what? Your pastor, your leader, whoever that is, does not have a different anointing than you. The anointing is sonship, and for the purpose that you could have God indwell you, that you could function as Christ in every way that he functions. The anointing is an abiding choosing as a son for God to dwell in you to do the works of Christ and greater for this grand purpose of subduing all of his enemies, bringing him, putting them under his feet. I mean, Jesus was like this possessed man who went from town to town, village to village, city to city, and he was just looking, hunting down the enemies of his God and liberating people. He said, this is the favorable day of the Lord. And he, in the beginning of Luke, he said, and this day is to set prisoners free. Everybody's encamped and entrenched in their favorite little doctrines of their own special church and have their own special anointings. And most of the time, it has nothing to do with why Jesus came. Jesus came to bring heaven's order on earth. That means you have been chosen, anointed for sonship in the same way that Jesus Christ the Son came to bring heaven's order. His will be done, which is for everyone to come into sonship, all nations to come into mature sonship, doing the same works of Christ as he demonstrated, until all of his enemies are under his feet, until all nations are brought into this place where hell has no influence in their minds, in their bodies. This is what it means for hell to have no prevailing influence over the church. What we have in Christ and the Spirit of God as the Son is complete dominance over the spiritual influences that have completely wrecked this world. And unless you settle these things in your mind, you choose to pull down and throw away these foolish teachings of man concerning someone's anointed for this and someone is anointed for that. Oh, let's go on outreach, Pastor Amit. No, I'm not anointed for that. Listen, you are deceived. You are deceived. You have the same anointing, which is the calling of sonship, so that you could receive the Spirit of God indwelling you, so that you could walk as he walked and conduct yourself as he conducted himself.
Amen. And you know, the just before I was coming here, these words were just ringing into my head, and I was praying in tongues, and the Lord just spoke something about what the world calls ecological imbalance. If this animal is not there, or that kind of tree is not there, the whole environment will be in ecological imbalance, right? And this is what I know from the Word of God. If you look at what the Word of God says, the only ecological imbalance that's out there is man is not operating in the dominion that he's really supposed to operate in. That is why the whole world is out of whack. And that's what Jesus really came for, right? As you had said sometime back, Clint, you know, in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the whole world, the whole cosmos, okay, the whole of creation, the whole of universe, for one purpose. And that he sent his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him, those of you who can believe in him, may receive eternal life, that when you receive it, you may become sons. That's the whole deal, that you may rule over all of creation, and that you may establish the kingdom, advance the kingdom of God here on earth. That's the job. That's the whole deal. You don't have specialists in the kingdom. There are no specialists. Right, you are not anointed to be a catcher. You are not anointed to be a drummer. You are not anointed to be a keyboard player or a singer, or you're not even anointed as a praise and worship leader or a pastor or anything of that sort. Your worship is not anointed. Your teachings and preachings are not anointed. What is anointed is you for sonship, period. That's it. You are anointed for sonship. Nothing more matters, right? You are like a person that is completely, like, as Clint said, like Jesus was possessed, literally, like a man was possessed to just go and set people free in every place, in every town, and every village, right? You have just one purpose: to advance the kingdom of God, to dismantle, to remove the influence of Satan from every single place. Now, that brings us to an interesting topic about gifts. and charisms and how certain gifts could be imparted to you or something else. And many people will quote the second letter of Timothy, right? But Paul writes to Timothy and he says, stir up that gift which is in you, which has been given to you by the laying on of hands. Many people think that's talking about an impartation. I know people who've asked me, who've said, okay, come on, can you lay your hands on me? Can you pray for me? Can you impart this healing? Can you impart this preaching gift? Can you impart this and can you impart that? And I keep telling, listen, impartations, there is only one impartation. And that is the Father, that is Jesus imparting the Holy Spirit who dwells in fullness in you. The Holy Spirit's not an oil bottle that somebody has a lesser quantity and somebody has more quantity. He is God dwelling in you. In fact, in Ephesians 2, he says that the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. That word holy temple, and in fact, everywhere in the New Testament that the word temple is referring to Christians or the church, that word temple in Greek actually means the inner sanctuary, the holy of holies. The inner sanctuary. You're not just the temple. You're the inner sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. You're the inner sanctuary of God. The presence of God on earth is in you. When you walk, you carry the presence of God with you. You carry the indwelling of the Holy Spirit with you. That is greater than catching people who are falling or playing the drums or leading praise and worship or pulling the chairs or being something. No. That is more important. Sonship is more important. Coming to the gifts, God does not want you operating in one gift and not in the other. God does not want to impart one gift for one person and not another gift to another person, or keep the more savvy gifts for certain people who are more stage friendly and the not savvy gifts for other people or anything of that sort. God is interested in making you a son. And if you are a son, you're in the image of Christ, then you walk in fullness because Jesus walked in fullness. Now, you might operate in certain gifts as you start off. You may be leaning towards certain gifts as you start off. But as you mature, you realize everything just works seamlessly. All the gifts working seamlessly. That's the aim, that all these gifts work seamlessly in you. Certain gifts might be more prominent, like tongues or something like that. But the aim is that you mature into Christ in such a way that all these gifts start working seamlessly in you. So if anybody's out there trying to say, okay, fine, come on, you can receive this gift. Go to this person and you can receive this gift, receive this impartation, sleep on so-and-so's grave or do this or do that and you'll get this. That is wrong. That's not even biblical. There's nothing in scripture that tells us anything of that sort. Nobody was anointed in a certain area or not anointed in a certain area, right? Everyone was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the deal. There are roles. There are jobs in the church. And that's why God says in his word, in Ephesians 4, he says, God has appointed some prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and all the stuff there. In fact, even in 1 Corinthians 12:28, he says, for God has set and appointed, right, apostles, prophets, teachers, and helps and administrators and miracles and gifts of healing and tongues and all the stuff, right? Roles and jobs in the church don't signify anointing. In fact, Paul says to, I think, Titus or Timothy, he says, if anyone desires to be a bishop, anyone desires to be a pastor, a leader of your church, he's desiring a good thing. Now, if these roles were special callings or special anointings, Paul would never have made that statement. He would say only those who are gifted to be pastors have to be pastors. But that's not true, right? He says, those who desire, but they've got to meet certain criteria. They've got to meet certain things. And then you can let them lead. You can let them be a bishop. You can let them be a pastor, right? So There's a whole sort of muddle between different things. There's gifts, there's charisms, there's roles, ministerial roles, right, in the church. Then there's this whole anointing thing, and everything is kind of muddled up. And the reason it's muddled up is because the enemy does not want you to progress. And the more muddled up things are, the more you're not going to focus on that one goal, that one prize for which you got to hunt after, like a hunter goes after his prey. You got to just stretch forth and just go forth, keeping everything else aside, right? That one purpose is sonship, that you mature into a son, right? He wants to keep you away from that, so he will attract you with a lot of things, right? He will attract you with an anointing of prophecy, an anointing of this, an anointing of that. No, my dear brothers and sisters, you are being cheated. There may be well-meaning people, but you are being cheated. Open up your eyes. Get to the truth. And the truth is this: God wants you as a son. God wants you as a son. There's such a lot of muddle that people even feel that a certain prayer session could be anointed, or a certain worship session could be anointed, or my drums are anointed, or my guitar is anointed, or my keyboard is anointed, or please pray, speak an anointing over this house, or speak an anointing over my phone, or an anointing over my car. The anointing is not for all these things. The anointing is for persons to be able to work and function. We are not in the old covenant where altars have to be anointed with oil. We are in the new covenant where you are the tabernacle of the Most High. You are the third temple. Let me make it clear again. You are the third temple. There's no other third temple coming where the presence of God is going to be there. The presence of God is in you. So open up your eyes and start walking in the truth of this anointing that you have. Let me just go back to that verse that we were looking at earlier in 1 John 2:20. It says, let me just read that again. It's 1 John 2:20 and 1 John 2:27. In 1 John 2:20, it says this: "But you have an anointing from the Holy One." You have it. If you are a Christian baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the anointing. That's the reason you see the apostles almost preoccupied when somebody had received the gospel, had got the baptism by water. They were preoccupied until they got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the aim was to get you filled with the Holy Spirit. Right, that's when the anointing was on you. You were set apart, consecrated for that job of being a son, of living as a son. It's not just the baptism by water. You see, Paul, when he meets some disciples in Ephesus, when they are talking about Christ, or they may be talking about the Messiah, he asks them a very specific question: "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" Right? They were really, really, literally, almost obsessed with making sure that whoever is so-called saved receives first the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what the anointing is all about. Anything you want to add there, Clint?
Yeah, I think I just want to reiterate, along with all those amazing things you just said, the fact that God even appoints men and women as apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists is to equip everyone, as it says in Ephesians 4:11, the saints, to equip every son to come up to the full functioning ability that we see in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So there is really no other purpose for an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. All of those people working together, all of those people functioning in ways that we see in the New Testament. We see great examples of those people appointed as those things, and the whole purpose is to bring people into maturity. Paul even said, "I'm leaving you here to bring people into maturity," speaking to either Timothy or Titus, I can't remember which one. So if you've got let's just say this again, speaking bluntly, if you or someone who is calling themselves or even has been appointed as an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist, yet they are not doing this job. They are not equipping people, training people to come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. They are either deceived or false teachers. They are after something else. They are going for some other goal other than what the Word of God explicitly says. Now, yeah. I want to bring up one other verse here from Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, just backing up this idea that God chose us as sons for the purpose of living in us by His Spirit. It's Galatians 4, 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Okay, so because God made you His Son, it's for the purpose of putting His Spirit in you. All right, God made you His Son. Because you are a son, you receive the Spirit. Okay, so the purpose of sonship is that God could dwell in you, which is exactly what we see in Christ. Remember, in the very beginning of this broadcast, we said that the will of God for you is to grow up into mature sonship, as we see in Romans 8:29.
Yep.
We were predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son. What is Jesus? What is that image? That of a sinless man and dwelt by the Spirit of God. What are you as a son? Your sins have been canceled. You have a new nature, that you would die to sin and live to righteousness. And you have received the abiding indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and He remains. He remains in you, okay? He remains in you, and that is exactly what we see in Jesus. Well, why don't we see more people walking as Jesus walked? Because of all of these teachings and doctrines and theologies that are blocking that. If you're not experiencing walking into a greater fullness of Christ every day, then there are things that you believe in your mind that are blocking that. And that's why we're so zealous in reaching out to you and saying these things, because it is not enough to read the Word of God, to hear teaching and be blessed by it. It's not enough. This is a call. This is an actual call to battle. You know, several times we are called soldiers in this new covenant as sons. God sent forth His Son. Man, what did Jesus do? He went around and was violent against the enemy, where people were enslaved. He was passionate to liberate them, not only in how they believed and what they were thinking, but in their bodies. People that were demonized, people that were sick, hey, even people that were dead, He viewed that as the work of the enemy. Yet we have settled with just attending a church service, listening to the worship, the anointed worship, Pastor Almond, hearing the teaching, listening to a good worship leader. Listen, I don't see any of that in the New Testament. I see people being recruited, what Paul calls in Philippians 3, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? He goes on to say, I bear down on the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is this? He says that I would reach a place of spiritual maturity beyond which there is no progress. He goes on to say in other places, I labor as a woman in childbirth until Christ be formed in you. He says this in Colossians chapter 2, that we labor to present every man perfect or mature in Christ. So all of these things that we're speaking, it's not because our ministry is devoted to tearing down other ministries. No. Our ministry is devoted to building you up. That's why we have authority to build you up, to strengthen you in the truth, and to tear down strongholds. He talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. These strongholds are opinions and arguments against the truth. What's an opinion and an argument against what the Bible calls an anointing that abides? It's that some people have it and some people don't. Some people have more, some people have less. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, the New Testament Word of God states that He gives His Spirit without measure. God gives His Spirit without measure. That means if you have received His Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have received the whole Spirit of God. Colossians 2:10 makes this clear. Paul says you have been made complete in Christ. That means you lack nothing. You lack no gift. If you received the whole Spirit of God, you have received every gift of God's Spirit. All things that we could ever need or desire or want, according to the Word of God and the Kingdom of God, are contained in God's Spirit. If we have received the Spirit of God, what else is there left that's missing? Nothing. In Him is the very definition of completeness. And if you have received His Spirit, you have received that completeness. Now, how do you walk in that completeness? You have to tear down everything in your mind that opposes this truth. You have the whole fullness of God residing in you. Every son who has the Spirit has the whole fullness of God, complete authority, complete power, complete ability. Why aren't you functioning in it? Because there's a reason that you believe that you're not. Why aren't you functioning in the fullness of God, the Holy Spirit, like we see in Jesus? Because you think there's a reason not to. And that's the problem. And that's why we need the truth. And that's why we've got to tear down strongholds.
Yep. And that's so beautiful that God wants to reside in you, that God wants to dwell in you, that He wants to operate and function through you. I mean, think about it. In Romans 8:26, he speaks about how the Spirit makes intercession, how the Spirit intervenes, how the Spirit intervenes into situation. That's what intercession basically means. Intervenes to make things line up to a target. Okay, what's the target? That you mature, right? And he's on everything for you. You don't need to look to heaven to send something to be done to sort out a particular problem. All you have to do is pray in the Spirit. All you have to do is speak over the situation. He's given you the Holy Spirit for every single issue, every single problem, every single matter that you might have in your life. Anointing is something you have the moment you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm reiterating it again. If you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are an anointed son of God. The reason pastors, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists are there is to help you mature into Christ. Nowhere do we look at people in the New Testament looked at as, oh, anointed apostle Paul, or anointed apostle Peter. No, they were not anointed apostles. They were anointed sons who functioned in the role of apostles so that the people could be equipped, right? In fact, in 2 Timothy, I think it's chapter 2, verse 2, where Paul tells Timothy, he says, see, listen, entrust what I have told you, what I have taught you, entrust them to faithful men. He does not say look for anointed men or look for people who are with this particular calling and then only give it to them. No. Faithful. They're looking at proper qualities here. They're looking at people who are mature in these areas, of people who can be trusted, who are faithful, who are loyal to the kingdom, loyal to the truth, not rebels against the crown, not rebels against the kingdom of God, right? So there is no separate special anointing that you need. You don't need a special anointing. You need the only special anointing that's out there, and that is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, right? There's a lot of other things to do with anointing. For example, anointed prayer cloths, things, as we spoke about earlier, things that are so-called anointed prayer cloths, anointed water, anointed oil, and all the stuff of that sort. I remember when we had gone to certain areas, there were people bringing out oil bottles and saying, please speak over it so that it becomes an anointed bottle of oil. And you're missing the whole point. We are mixing up a lot of things. Now, I can speak life and release life into things. Like Paul had this life that was oozing out of him, and this aprons and handkerchiefs which is taken and touched to sick people, and people were being healed. It does not mean that the cloth was anointed in a special way, right? James, which is like a primer to Christians, was spoken of in the letter of James towards the end. He says, especially the new Christians who are sick, call the elders so they can anoint him with oil. He's not talking about something special in the oil. He's talking about the life that is being released by the people who are more mature, the elders who are more mature. They can release life into that person. But just because I can release life, just because Peter's shadow could heal the sick, it does not mean that Peter's shadow was anointed in any way. It's just the life. Remember, Jesus spoke about springs of living water just flowing out of your belly, of your inner man, of your innermost man, right? In fact, this was prophesied about in Psalms 46, where he says, there is a river that makes glad the city of God. There is a river that makes glad the city of God. Ezekiel, he didn't know what he was seeing. And Ezekiel 47 speaks about this temple. And from the threshold of this temple, there was this river flowing out. And it says this river was for the healing of the nations. Revelation 22 speaks about a river flowing out. What is it? The Holy Spirit has been given to dwell in you so that life can flow out from inside out, that you can minister to others. Now that life can be ministered through different things. We've heard how people have touched. There were examples of so many things where people just released life into a pole or a stick, and there were many people who just came and touched, and the people were set free. Right? We heard about Pastor Curry Blake's testimony of how his wife sent a sleeve to a man whose arm was withered, and the arm just grew out. It does not mean that these things are anointed. It just means that life was being released. These are people who knew how to operate, who knew how to release the life of God into things and into situations. That does not make the things anointed in any way. The anointing is not for your car, not for anything. The anointing is for you, for the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. That's what the anointing is for, that you are set apart for the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, right? And in fact, in one of the places, the Word of God states very, very clearly, he says, the difference, he says, between the Gentiles and the Christians, the believers, is that they operate sensually. I think it's in Jude, right? He says they are sensual. They do not have the Holy Spirit, he says. But you have the Holy Spirit. You build on your faith by praying in the Holy Spirit, right? You build yourself by praying in the Holy Spirit. That's the whole deal. The whole deal is that the difference between those of the world and those of the kingdom is the anointing of the Holy Spirit over you, right? There's nothing else you need to get. There's nothing else that heaven has to give you, right? Everything has already been released. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places has been released into you, right? What you have to do is walk in it and start releasing this life into other people right now. That's your job. That does not mean you need an anointing. You have the anointing. It's an anointing that abides, by the way. You don't need a recharge of the anointing as such. You need to stir yourself up, but you don't need a recharge of the anointing. You have the anointing if you have the Holy Spirit. So the question that I want to ask you all is this. Are you anointed? Have you received the Holy Spirit? It's not something that you just assume. It's not something that you just say, I think I've been baptized by water, I've received the Holy Spirit. No, have you received the Holy Spirit? That's the point. That's the reason Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to give you some special anointing besides this one, of sonship, by giving you the Holy Spirit. Anything else you want to add, Clint?
Yeah, one thing that I want to add here that I don't think we covered is that people, you'll hear people say the anointing has lifted, okay? And this is the point that Amit's making, is that the anointing doesn't lift. Why do people say, or preachers say, the anointing has lifted? That just means that they're tired of praying for people and they're going to go home now. Listen, God can't stop deciding that he wants you to be his son. Okay? The choosing, the anointing, the setting apart for sonship does not lift. And Jesus himself said, I will remain in you until the end of the age. Yeah. So no anointing lifts. And again, the anointing is not about power. That's not a measure of power. It's an appointing to sonship. It's a calling to sonship. There's only one calling of God, that is sonship. Okay? Now,
amen.
This is a great responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. God gave you his whole spirit. What's required of you? Your whole life. Okay? Now, I charge you to employ yourself in the liberation of the planet. This is why you've been called to sonship, to establish his kingdom and his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. This is not, listen, it is a blessing. Yes, it affects us personally. Yes, we are filled with the fullness of joy. Yes,
yep.
We enjoy our life and the blessing of God. Absolutely. But it's not for our own personal benefit. It's for the benefit of the kingdom of God to come on this earth to such a degree that it completely displaces hell and consumes its efforts in totality. Okay? So I charge you in Jesus' name. You've been given much. Now take much responsibility for what you've been given. God is not sitting in heaven determining the rate of the advancement of the kingdom. It is you who decides how great the kingdom is advanced through your life. You decide the degree of the advancement of God's kingdom in this earth by your zeal to do the will of God now that you are a son. It's up to you. It's not up to the Father. His works have been completed. Now it's up to us. He has given the earth to us. We are stewards of the earth. The heavens belong to God, but the earth he has given into the hands of the sons of men. It's our time. It's our responsibility. And he will work with us because he dwells in us, in order that all of his enemies would be made his footstool, in order that all nations would be brought into mature sonship.
Amen. Okay?
This is the call. This is the goal. And we're going to increase in this over time, more and more and more, until the return of Jesus Christ. Did you know that Peter said that we can hasten the day of the Lord's return? It's a command. He said, hasten the day of the return of the Lord. You know, no man knows the day or the hour, and neither does Jesus, only the Father. But you know whose hands it is in? Our hands. Hasten the day. You want to just sit around and wait and decide to do other things with your life? Guess what you're doing? You're putting off the day. Take responsibility. Take responsibility according to the measure that you've been given. You've been given the whole spirit. You have been anointed as a son so that God could dwell in you. The problem is nobody knows he's in there. Okay? And these are the things that we're bringing forth to put him on full display in Jesus' name. That's all I have.
Amen, amen, amen. And that is what the truth about this whole big thing of anointing is. Remember, you have the Holy Spirit, and that is the anointing of sonship, the anointing and appointment to being sons. That's who you are, okay? Like Clint said, there's no anointing that's being lifted up in any place. I believe what Christians lack is personal initiative. When there's personal initiative, you see the power of God, the life of God just flow forth and gush forth. And so when you see certain people operating with this personal initiative, you see the power of God and the life of God just gushing forth, because the Holy Spirit is your helper. He's here to assist you in things, right? He's here to assist you. He says the Holy Spirit makes intercession for you. That word in Greek is sunanti lambanomai, which basically means to work along with, to assist you along with you, which means you've got to work along with him. It's not just him doing something. It's not the old covenant where you just sit and say, God, do something, and God comes and does something. No, no, no. It's you and God working together. You speak it, he works along with you in every situation. It takes personal initiative. It takes discipline, a sound mind, and personal initiative from you. Okay, so which means, like Clint said, you've got to make it your full-time occupation to advance the kingdom, to dismantle the powers of darkness, to get people into the kingdom, right? And to demolish, to mature into Christ. And that's only going to happen by demolishing these lies, right? Personal initiative does not mean an anointing. Personal initiative means that you have taken responsibility. You've understood your responsibility of being a son, and you are doing something by taking responsibility, right? Now that you've taken responsibility, now you do stuff, and so God assists you. And so you see these certain people. You see Smith Wigglesworth. You see guys that are there. Even today, even what we are doing right now, we see so many miracles. We see so many healings. We see people like we train who take personal initiative that see miracles and healings. Now, you know what the whole deal is? The whole deal is personal initiative. When you've got personal initiative, you see it. That does not mean you're more anointed or less anointed. You all have the same, like Clint started off in the beginning. He says, it's the same will for everyone. The same will to be a son. And so it's the same anointing to be a son. And it's only thing that you see differences in is personal initiative. Have that. Understand the responsibility that's on your shoulders and move ahead with the message, the gospel of the kingdom. Now, we want to do two things before you go. Is if there's anybody else who's out there who's never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right now, wherever you may be in your room, in your house, in your workplace, anywhere, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit right now if you believe. All you need to do is believe and ask. And if you just believe right now, just keep your eyes closed, wherever you may be, make sure you're not driving. Just take a few minutes off and just receive right now. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit wherever you may be. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit now. In Jesus' name, may his life be released into you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And now you can just start speaking in tongues. May those tongues be released from within you. In Jesus' name. Let there be springs of living water flowing from you now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And if there's anybody who's sick out there, who's diseased in pain or anything of that sort, right? Clint, I think we've just lost him. But if there's anybody who's sick out there, we just want to praise. We want to praise God that he has given us the gift of healing through the stripes and bruises of Jesus. So we just want to speak peace and healing to you right now. Clint, if you could... but he's back. If we could just pray for the sick out there. If there's anybody who's sick, anybody who's diseased, if you're there, right, you could just place your hands on that phone. It's not because it's anointed in any way, but so that you can just receive the healing that God has really, you know, reserved for you. You are meant to walk in divine health. So if there's anybody who's sick or diseased, receive healing right now. Clint.
Yeah, right now, I lay my hands on your body by faith in the name of Jesus. And I command every spirit of infirmity, every sickness and disease, all suffering and torment, out
Now! Now! Out! In Jesus' name, I break every symptom.
Amen.
And I command you to leave and never come back. In Jesus' name. Body, I command you, head to toe, be made whole. Now, right now, I set you free, right now, in Jesus' name.
Amen. So God bless you. Now remember, you've gotten the truth, and this is something I keep telling you all every time. Jesus spoke about two men, a wise man and a foolish man. A wise man built his house on the rock, the foolish man on the sand. The storm came to both places, the wind came, the rain came, but the house that fell was the house of the man that built his house on the sand. Now, why is that? He says, Jesus says, the wise man is a man who hears the word and does it. And the foolish man is a man who hears the word and does not do it. You can attend as many Equipping the Saints broadcasts or any other broadcast that we have on each of our channels, but you may just be building your house on the sand if you're not going to do what is taught. Because the Holy Spirit is kind of trying to get something across to you. It's time for you to act. Do the word and go and set the oppressed free. Advance the kingdom. Heal the sick. Go and make disciples. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. That's your job. Your job is not about sitting every Sunday for a meeting or sitting every week for a meeting. Your job is to set people free. You go for a meeting to be equipped to be able to do your real job. Your real job is to be a son. So God bless you. We'll see you next week from here, from Goa, India here. That's me, Amit. And this is Clint from the USA. Thank you. Have an awesome week. Have an exciting, adventurous week. Carry out greater and greater exploits for the Lord. Thank you, and God bless you. We'll see you next week.